Well, a very good day and welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel. And today, as always, we'll open God's Word and find His good word for us today. God's Word is good word. It's good for us. It's food for us. It's spiritual food for our spirit. We need to feed upon God's Word just as we feed upon physical food to nourish our physical body. God's Word is the food that nourishes our spiritual person, our spiritual individual, our spiritual man, if you will. We need God's spiritual food, His Word. His Word is life, Jesus said. Today, we'll continue in John chapter 14 and go on into John chapter 15 as we look at the life of Jesus in the final hours of His life here upon this earth in human form, just a matter of hours before going to the cross of Calvary here in John chapter 14 and 15. Remember that John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are, I think, very important chapters. They're chapters that are not found in the other Gospels. They are chapters that tell us in detail what Jesus said on the night of the last Passover observance with His disciples, the night when He instituted the Lord's Supper. He spoke of the Holy Spirit coming. He spoke of Himself as being the true vine, and we are the branches. We'll be looking at that today. And He spoke to the Father in prayer in John chapter 17, that great, wonderful, high priestly prayer. So we're looking at those here in the life of Jesus as we continue to examine the question, is He really who He claimed to be? Is He really the only begotten Son of God the Father? We have seen evidence upon evidence upon evidence. We've listened to the angels proclaim Him as the Son of God. We've listened to prophets and saints proclaim Him as the Son of God. We've listened to apostles proclaim Him as the Son of God. We've listened to those who have been healed by the power of Jesus proclaim Him as the Son of God. We've listened to the Father. God, the Father, proclaim Him as, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we've seen the Holy Spirit. And of course, we continue to have the Holy Spirit to witness of Jesus. We're going to review that in just a moment today. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank You today for Your blessings. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the cross of Calvary, as awful as it was necessary for our redemption. Thank You, Jesus, for being willing to go to the cross and through the cross to bear sin's debt for us, that we might become the children of God by trusting in You and believing in You and receiving You into our heart and into our life. Father, today as we open Your Word, we ask for the blessings of Your Holy Spirit, the One who gave us Your Word. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today, I pray. Be our teacher so that the words that I speak are not my own words, but they're Yours, spoken in me and through me, for the good of all of us who will listen and hear. Help us to hear and help us to apply in our lives Your wonderful word, for Your glory and for our good. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, thanks so much for joining us today on A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. We've been talking recently in the last session concerning the Holy Spirit, of course. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, and we have most of what the material we have about the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit here in these chapters of John. Chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 is where we have most of what Jesus said. Of course, this was just a matter of hours before He was to leave. He said, I'm going away from you, but I will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you another comforter, a helper, who will be with you. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him, and because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, he said. I will come to you. And then later, down in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus speaks of himself and the Father. He says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And that speaks of a permanent abode that Jesus is talking about there. A permanent coming, a permanent indwelling within us. So our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul speaks of the temple of God in two ways. He speaks of it in terms of our individual bodies, and he speaks of it in terms of the body of Christ, the church as a whole, being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Of course, when you get a group of believers together, you've got a local assembly. You've got a local church. Those who are of the like mind and unified in the body of Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit in each one of them. So the Holy Spirit is in the midst of them as well as being within each one of them. And that's what happens when we get together in the body of Christ as a group of believers, worshiping and praising him. We have the Holy Spirit present in individual members, and we have the Holy Spirit present within the whole body of Christ as well. So there's the two ways or two types of how the Holy Spirit indwells us, indwelling us individually, promising never to leave us, never to forsake us. In fact, we have the Holy Spirit, we have God the Father, we have God the Son, all dwelling within us as individual believers. Now, Jesus spoke quite a bit of the Holy Spirit, and he spoke of him, of course, as being the one who would take of what he has and reveal it to us. We looked at John chapter 16, and specifically the verses 7 through 15, which is the most definitive explanation by Jesus of the purpose, the job, if you will, of the Holy Spirit upon this earth and the job of the Holy Spirit within our lives. He said there in John chapter 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now he's speaking to his disciples and saying, it's to your advantage that I go away. And how was he saying that, and why was he saying it? Well, here's the situation. As Jesus was walking with his disciples in human form, he was very limited in the sense of the human limitations that were placed upon him by virtue of dwelling in a human body. For example, Jesus could be only one place at one time in that human body, as you and I are confined to one place at one time in a human body. Now, the Spirit is not confined in such a manner. But Jesus was confined to that human body. He dwelt in that human body. And as long as he was in that human body, he was only one place at one time. Now, the Holy Spirit cannot be confined in such a way. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Today, for example, Jesus is spoken of at being at the right hand of the Father in heaven, interceding for us. Yet, he is within us, too. You see, he is now spirit. He is not confined to that human body as he was when he was speaking this here in John chapter 16. So Jesus is in essence saying, in this human body, I can only be at one place at one time. Therefore, it is really to your advantage that I go away, because if I go away, then I can literally be with you anywhere you are. I can be with each one of you. I can be in each one of you. And through the Holy Spirit, the very power of God, I can be demonstrated and I can be shown and manifested within you and through you individually and corporately as well. Now, Jesus had spoken, too, that you will do greater works than I've done, he said. And he spoke, of course, of the Holy Spirit coming to empower them. So think of it in this way. You and I today, as children of God, believers in Jesus Christ, have within us the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I sometimes say that all that is God dwells within you and me as believers. Now, that doesn't limit God in any way. God is limitless. He is all-powerful. He is omniscient and omnipresent. That means he's present everywhere. Omniscient means he's all-knowing. So God's power is not limited in any way whatsoever. God is all-powerful, and nothing is impossible with God, and the Holy Spirit is described as the power of God. Now, here in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15, Jesus explains the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He says, "When he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they, that is the world, does not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Now, Jesus speaks of these three things, convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, as being part of the job of the Holy Spirit within us and within this world. And he explains why this is part of the job of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Now, notice in verse 13 that Jesus says the Holy Spirit will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Now, Jesus has spoken of himself in that way many times. He said often, "I do not say my own thing. I say what I hear the Father says. I and the Father are one." There is unity within the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The purpose of Jesus, we need to understand that Jesus came into this world, as Hebrews chapter 1 says, as the exact representation of God the Father. It was the purpose of Jesus to reveal the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." Remember, Philip asked him, "How can we know the Father? How can we see the Father?" And he said, Jesus answered Philip and said, "Philip, have you been with me so long and you don't yet understand?" Now let's remember, the apostles were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. They did not have the benefit of the Holy Spirit to explain and to reveal to them as they did once the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. So Philip was just looking through human eyes at this point in time. But Jesus made it very clear that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now here he makes it very clear that the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself. He said he will take of mine and reveal it to you. Now we find that the purpose of Jesus was to reveal the Father. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is spoken of as the power of God, the manifester of God, the power of God working within us through the Father, through the Son, is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us. Jesus said, he will take of mine and he will give it to you. He will disclose it to you. He will show you. He will be your guide. He will be your teacher. He will be your comforter. And that is who the Holy Spirit is to us today. Our guide, our teacher, our comforter. He is the power of God working in us and through us. God is manifested in our lives and through our lives by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit today. Jesus told his disciples to go and wait until they be endued with power from on high. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit. And of course, there in Jerusalem on that Pentecost Sunday, when those 120 apostles came down out of that upper room, having been filled with the Holy Spirit, having seen the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, they were literally baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, John, you remember, said of Jesus, when Jesus came to be baptized of him, he said, "There is one coming after me who is greater than I, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Is there such a thing as the baptism in the Holy Spirit? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, there is. And Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, what does that mean? Well, of course, when the Holy Spirit came, we saw the demonstration of the Spirit dancing upon them as cloven tongues of fire. Fire is always associated with the Holy Spirit. Fire is a purifying, a refining thing, you see. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit, to purify and to refine. So there is the implication of fire, of purifying, refining fire. There is also the implication of water, pure, living water, Jesus described it. So the Holy Spirit is presented in different ways, as purifying fire, as cleansing water, as living water. The Holy Spirit is the power of God within us. Yes, there is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, generally, that comes to an individual at the point in time of their belief. We have some record in Acts, for example, where individuals had believed on the name of Jesus and had not yet received the Holy Spirit. But I think that's the exception rather than the rule, as we read in God's Word. It is God's purpose and plan for the Holy Spirit to come to indwell us as we are born into the family of God, as we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are then indwelt by not only the Holy Spirit, we're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you see. And we are to yield our lives and to submit our lives to the Holy Spirit, to the power of God, to work in us and to work through us. You see, Jesus is to be Lord of our lives. So we have Jesus as Lord of our lives, directing our lives, doing the Father's will in us and through us by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the way it's supposed to work in us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, yielded and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Now, Jesus is both Lord and Savior, and I really question whether a person is truly saved if they have not yielded their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus must be Lord and Savior both in our lives. Not just Savior, but Lord and Savior. Now, I suppose it is possible for an individual to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, as they move along in their Christian faith, to finally come to the realization of submitting their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone has spoken of our having God within us, but then the question becomes, how much of us does God have? How much have we submitted our lives and yielded our lives to the Lordship of Christ within us? It is God's purpose, it is God's plan for us to have yielded ourselves and to walk in that yieldedness, submissiveness, yielded, submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that God's works can be done in us. Yes, we're created unto good works. And the Bible says, "For it is God who is at work in us to work and to will for His good pleasure." So we are to be yielded to the Lordship of Jesus so that the work of God can be done in us and through us by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, living in us and dwelling within us. You don't separate God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're one. You see, the manifesting of God is through the Holy Spirit. Jesus reveals God. The Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. And that's the purpose. That's the way it works. Jesus said very clearly that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to convict of sin and to reveal me, to reveal what is mine, to take of mine and give it to you, to be your teacher, to be your guide, to be your convictor. Now let me hasten to say that we are so fortunate to have Jesus as our intercessor before God. Romans chapter 8 presents Jesus as the great intercessor on our behalf before God the Father in heaven. It also, that same chapter 8 of Romans, presents the Holy Spirit as praying for us with groanings and utterances that we can't even understand. In other words, the Holy Spirit is praying for us for what we need that we don't even understand that we need. Now, I'm thankful for that, that the Holy Spirit is looking out for my needs beyond what I even understand as being my needs. Remember that Romans chapter 8 begins in this way, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." It really goes ahead to say and ask the question, will the Father condemn you? And the answer is no. The Father loves you with a love that is unconditional. It speaks of anything being able to separate us from the love of the Father in Christ Jesus, and the answer is no. So the Father will not condemn us. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 8 also then moves to Jesus and says, will Jesus condemn us? And the answer is no. No, He loved us so much that He was obedient to the Father to lay down His life for us, that again we might become the children of God. So Jesus won't condemn us. The Father won't condemn us. And then it asks the question, will the Holy Spirit condemn us? And the answer is no. The Holy Spirit never condemns us. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Now let's look at the difference in conviction and condemnation for a moment. It is the devil who condemns. Anytime there is condemnation, that is of the devil, not of God. God does not condemn. God convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Now what's the difference? Well, conviction of the Holy Spirit points out the sin, illuminates the sin. It's like turning the spotlight on the sin so that we see it. We can't miss it. The Holy Spirit helps us see it. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us, you see. And the purpose of that revealing the sin to us is to bring us to Jesus, to bring us to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We're told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Is there any condemnation there? No. There's only reconciliation. You see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit in convicting us of our sin is always to draw us to God through Jesus Christ. The purpose is love. The underlying reason for the conviction of our sin by the Holy Spirit is love, not condemnation. The purpose is to draw us to God and to reconcile us to God through Jesus Christ, not to condemn us. The Holy Spirit never works to condemn us. You can really tell the difference in the condemnation of the devil or demons of hell and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. The conviction draws to God. The conviction brings to God through Jesus. The condemnation always drives us away from God. The condemnation always puts the emphasis on our being unworthy, our being a sinful people, unworthy to be in the presence of God. That's the condemnation. That's of the devil, my friend. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. Let me stress that. You see, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to reveal Jesus. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to take of what is Jesus. And here in John 16, he said, "All things that the Father has are mine," Jesus said. "Therefore I said that he," the Holy Spirit, "takes of mine and will disclose it to you." So the Holy Spirit reveals the things of the Father and reveals the things of the Son. And that is love, first and foremost. Read Romans chapter 8. What a wonderful chapter. Is there any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? The answer is no. No. The Father won't condemn us. He loves us. Jesus won't condemn us. He loves us. The Holy Spirit won't condemn us. It's His purpose to bring us to Jesus and to bring us to God the Father. The Holy Spirit is on our side. Jesus is our intercessor before God the Father. We are, of all mankind, most blessed to have a Father who loves us unconditionally, a Savior who loved us so much that He obeyed the Father's command to give His life for us, that we might become His brothers and sisters, that we might become the children of God. And when we sin, as John says, we have an advocate with God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And when we sin, if we come confessing our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, Jesus said, "It is to your benefit that I go away. For if I go away and depart this human body and go back to my original glory with God the Father, go back to my spiritual state where I can be in you and in you and in you and yet seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven at the same time, then the Spirit will come, the one who is the very power of God, to indwell you, to empower you, to be with you, to teach you, to guide you, to convict you, and to bring you to reconciliation with God Almighty. That's the real purpose of the Holy Spirit within us. He gifts us. He brings forth the fruit of God within us, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the gentleness, the kindness, the faithfulness, the patience, and the self-control. These fruits that Jesus speaks of here in John chapter 15, which we'll get to in our next session together. But we are so fortunate to have the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the very power of God within us to perform the work of God, to do the things of God, to perform His work through the Lordship of Jesus in our lives. Here's the situation. We're children of God. We're yielded to the Lordship of Jesus. Jesus is free to direct our lives. Jesus is free to do the Father's will in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us. We are instruments in the hand of God. We're here to do the work of God the Father. Let's be sure, however, that it is His work and not our own, or not the work of a denomination or someone else. In order for it to be God's work, we must be yielded to Him and submitted to Him and given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Once we recognize that that's best for us, once we recognize that God loves us so much that He always wants the very best for us and that He's always working in us and through us for our good. And that good is ultimately to conform us to the very image of Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, The Bible says that you and I, as believers, sons and daughters of God, will one day be just like Jesus, perfect in every way. Paul says that he's persuaded that he that started the good work in us, that is God the Father, will finish it. Nothing is impossible with God, my friend. We may look in the mirror today and we may say, how in the world can God ever make this to be perfect as Jesus is perfect? Remember, dear friend, nothing is impossible with God. And we have a God who loves us so much that he's going to see that we receive the very best. That's what God has in store for you, and that's God's desire for you. And that's a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.